Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 18 this evening. Lucky, thank you so much for your prayers for these meetings. And indeed, the Lord has been blessing it. The way that he worked last night, souls have been touched, and thank God for what he did. And without your prayers, that couldn't have been possible. But thank you so much for praying for souls and ministering to lost souls. Last night, so many of you were talking to lost souls there, and that was just the way that God used you, and people were touched. Praise the Lord. So 2 Kings chapter 18, life of Hezekiah. The Lord used the life of Hezekiah in my life last year, and he spoke to me. I was praying about going to Turkey to plant the church. So he used a passage from 2 Chronicles chapter 29. But let's read chapter 18, verse 1 through verse 3 for now. It says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening you've given us to gather together and hear your word preached to us. Lord, would you prepare each heart this evening, Lord? Would you call men and women from this congregation that they would receive that call from you and respond to that call? And Lord, that they would be just ready to go to the field where you have, Lord, have for them, for the ministry, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done so far. We just pray that you would work in our hearts even now, in Jesus' name, amen. So the Lord has been helping me to prepare messages. Pastor asked me about a month ago. He said, "Can you preach for our missions conference?" And what do you say to Pastor Van Gelderen? You can't say no. I said, "Yes, sir." But I'm like, goodness. That means, like he said, like not like presentation, but preaching for entire missions conference. I'm like, okay, I don't know about that, but okay, sure, I'll do it, Pastor. And I was just crying out to God. I said, "Lord, I'm going to preach like 6 times. Would you help me? I don't know what to preach. Would you help me?" And I'm so busy already working in the studio and with 3 kids and just super busy with ministry and everything. So the Lord gave me a message for Sunday morning, Sunday evening. He gave me a message for Monday last night, and he gave me a message for tomorrow night, which is the hard one. Be prepared for that one. But he didn't give me any message for tonight. I'm like, I prayed about it, and I just read the passages from the Bible. I just wanted to get something from God's word to preach, but he didn't give me anything. But he kept reminding me of a message that I preached last year to college students. So the college students should bear with me tonight, because I'm going to preach same message that I preached last year, except the freshmen, obviously, because they didn't hear it. But this is a revised version from life of Hezekiah. But the Lord used his life in my life, Hezekiah's life, in 2 Chronicles. I was praying. I said, "Lord, if this is your will for us to go to Turkey, there's this man that I'm mentoring for 4 or 5 years online." So we were praying about going to Turkey to plant the church. So as I was praying and reading the scripture, the Lord spoke to me through Hezekiah. He was 25 years old when he became a king, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And Bible says that in his first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, And he called priests and Levites to come in to sanctify themselves first and then sanctify the house of the Lord and carry forth filthiness out of the holy place, because he said, for our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. So he, after decades, the house of the Lord, it was shut. It was closed down. Nobody was worshiping Jehovah there. And they were under the bondage, under Syria. They were paying tribute to Syria. So they were cursed. And kings before him, they were all bad kings. And some of them did okay, but they compromised. And he wanted to do right. He opened the house of the Lord. I was praying. I said, Lord, do you want us to go to Turkey to plant the church? And I saw the zeal of this man, this king. He's not even a priest to be religious, but he's a king, but he knows that God is going to be pleased if he opens the house of the Lord and people are going to worship him and God is going to give us victory. He's going to bless us, because outside of God, there's no blessing. So he wanted blessing that comes from the Lord. So reading that, God spoke to me. I realized that there are 4 million refugees and Muslims, obviously, living in Turkey. And they don't know God, and obviously they don't have a house of worship. So the Lord burdened me, gave me that confirmation and peace about that, to go to Turkey by faith. So we went there, and the Lord, miraculously, not only he planted one church, but he led us to go to another city from Düzce to Denizli to plant second church. And over 100 people, Persians, have been saved since then. This miraculous that the Lord planted two churches. It was amazing. So the Lord used this passage, but now I'm going to preach from 2 Kings chapter 18 about commitment, because he was very committed to the Lord, commitment to God. And I'm going to ask you tonight that if the Lord has been speaking to your heart last few nights, even tonight, maybe he's calling you to mission. Would you commit that to the Lord and respond? Because the world is in despair. It's horrible what's going on in the world. We saw some missionary presentation that countries like India and other countries, they are in darkness. They worship idols and it's heartbreaking. So there is a great need for laborers. So we need to be committed to the Lord. A lot of people are committed to this world, to enjoy, to entertain themselves. But we Christians, we cannot enjoy our lives in this world. You're going to be miserable. If you want to draw water from the well of this world, you're going to be miserable. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy comes from the Lord. So there are a lot of authors, secular authors, they know the power of commitment. Tony Robbins said, there is no abiding success without commitment. Yes, you cannot be successful without being committed to the Lord. And also another author, Ralph Ellison, said, it takes a deep commitment to change and even deeper commitment to grow. It's true with Christianity. It takes commitment to grow in your faith. You need to come to Bible studies, to Sunday school, Sunday morning, evening, the Wednesday prayer meetings, and Saturday as well. If you commit your life to the Lord, you're going to come and you're going to grow. God is going to minister to you through his Holy Spirit. So commitment is like a button that holds two pieces together. It's like when you make decision to do something, to change habit in your life, bad habit, get rid of darkness in your life, or you commit to the Lord to go to a certain field. So you talk to God, you make decisions, you say, Lord, I'm willing to go to India. I'm willing to go to Burkina Faso. It's hard to pronounce that one. I'm willing to go to Saudi Arabia, to Turkey. So you make you talk to God, you make decision that holds you and God together. You have to remember that decision that you make. Nail it down. Remember, like stone of remembrance. Make commitment. I pray that the Lord would help you to make a commitment even tonight, to prepare your heart for a mission. So Hezekiah chapter 1, chapter 18 in 2 Kings, he is 25 years old. He is very young. At the age of 25, usually if you become a king, you're going to become an arrogant because you're going to have lots of honor, authority, and people are going to honor you and respect you, and you're going to reign over millions of people, and you're going to be puffed up. But this man, he was not. He was humble because he saw the wickedness of kings before him. His father Ahaz, Bible says that his father Ahaz passed his sons through fire to pagan gods. His sons, imagine Hezekiah is sitting there and he's watching his daddy burning his sons one after another to offer to this pagan god. And he's looking at him, is that my turn? Am I next one? Is he going to offer me? Is he going to kill me? Offer me this evil god? He saw that he was sick of it. He saw kings before him, Jotham, Azariah, Joash, and Amaziah. They all kept high places. And some kings like Jehoshaphat and Asa, they were okay. They did right in the sight of the Lord. But however, Bible says, nevertheless, they kept high places. They compromised. So we're going to look at commitment from the life of Hezekiah. Number one point that I have is the complete commitment. Commitment must be complete. Verse 4 and 5, we're going to read. It says, he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. The kings before him and other kings, even good kings like Jehoshaphat, they had problems. They kept high places. These high places were upon hill. They would make an altar to unknown god, to Babylonian gods and different idols, that they would burn incense and worship those gods on a hill. They think that doing that, they're going to be closer to God. So high places. Bible says that he removed these high places because a lot of those kings and even priests and Levites, they were going there. They were just joining everybody and burning incense, and they were compromising. And that's why so many of those kings before him, they compromised. Because if they didn't go there, if they removed those high places, they would have lost their kingdom, possibly. They would be removed from being a king over Israel or Judah. But this man, he didn't care. He removed the high places, break the images, and cut down the groves. He wanted to destroy them all. He had zeal for Jehovah. He was fully committed to the Lord. And he broke the serpent, brazen serpent that Moses made, because unto those days, Bible says, people were worshiping this object. They thought that our leader, Moses, made this brazen serpent that healed so many of Israelites in the wilderness. Therefore, this is sacred. And this can heal us. They were praying to this brazen serpent. And he destroyed it, and he called it Nehushtan, means great Satan. You worshiping great Satan that Moses made. Doesn't matter whoever made, it's an idol. And God hates idolatry. You breaking the second commandment. He understood that. He didn't care. He just destroyed every sacred that was sacred for Jews, not for God. So he didn't care what people would do to him to remove him from his kingdom. He didn't please man. Verse 5, it says he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. So that after him was none like him among all the kings of the Judah, nor any that were before him. He trusted in the Lord. No matter what, if he lost his kingdom, so be it. He wanted to please God. He trusted in the Lord even if he lost his kingdom. So commitment must be complete. He removed high places. No, we don't have high places now in Milwaukee area to go to high places to worship idols, but we have high things, imaginations. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 to 5, we read, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, like dreams, the thinking that we have, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. High thing, imaginations. We have dreams. We want to be successful. We want to become a businessman, or we want to be somebody. We want to have some recognition in the world that people can look up to us. That's what we want. We have high things and imaginations, which is idolatry in God's eyes. That's an idol. We have to bring it down and destroy. Pull it down, Bible says. Bring it to the obedience of Christ. Somebody came to Jesus and he said, suffer me first to go and bury my father, and then I'll come and follow you. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead ones. But if you want to follow me, you have to do it right away. This man, most likely his father wasn't dead. Possibly his father was old, and possibly he was rich and he wanted to wait a little bit to receive some inheritance from his father, to be rich, to have some money, and then he's going to be ready to serve the Lord. A lot of people do that today. They want to get some money, save some money, have some money so that they can have money to serve the Lord. God doesn't need our money. God has all the money that he needs. So perhaps his father would have been against him to follow Jesus. And many Jews, they hated Jesus. They crucified him. Possibly his father would have been against him to follow Jesus. He wanted to wait till his father pass away and die, and then so he can be free to serve the Lord. So we need to complete our lives to the Lord totally, and not to wait for money or wait for other circumstances to come through, that so we can be free to serve the Lord. God wants us to be free right now to serve him. I know somebody, he surrendered to mission, and after surrendering, committing his life to the Lord to go to the field, he met a young girl, and he fell in love and got into a relationship. Without even getting married, they're living together now. He lost that vision. He was not committed to the Lord completely. Jesus himself committed himself to his Father completely. And we have to learn from him. Not just partial commitment, just some people do. They become emotional. They commit, they surrender. They hear some messages and good sermon, and they surrender. But then when they see something nice in this world, they get distracted. They lose the vision. And that's partial commitment. It's not complete commitment. Imagine if I sing this famous hymn like this. Half to Jesus I surrender, half to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender half, I surrender half. Half to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender half. If you're honest with yourself, most of us should sing this song like I surrender half, because there are something in our lives we don't want to surrender to the Lord, because that gives us entertainment, that gives us some security, and we don't want to give it, we don't want to commit that to the Lord. So we have partial commitment, not complete commitment. So we have high things. We have high places in our minds. We don't want to commit that to the Lord. There is darkness. There is habitual sin in our lives. And we don't want to give it up, because that gives us some happiness and joy in life. So partial sin is sin. So number one, complete commitment. But number two is consistent complete. Commitment must be consistent. Verse 6, for he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. You see, he clave to the Lord, departed not from following him. All his life, he clave himself to the Lord. He wanted to be consistent as a believer, to serve the Lord, to commit himself to the Lord completely. He was consistent. I just heard about this pastor, well-known pastor in Australia, who pastored this good, big church, in fact, one of top maybe five big churches in Australia, not mega church, but good-sized church. And he pastored for 25 years. After 25 years, and he was like leading many conferences, big gatherings at all churches. Baptist churches were gathering in one state and next year another state. He was, most of the time, he was like very well-known, very respected person. And after 25 years of ministering, pastoring, he stepped down and he's doing some inspirational work now. I just couldn't believe it. I looked online to see what he's doing exactly. So what he's doing is he's doing some inspirational work, and I found his website, and this is what he says. He said, a few years ago, I was unsure of where I was going, doubting who I am and anxious about the future. Anxious about the future? Are you anxious about your future? No, I'm not worried about my future. I know where I'm going to go and where I'm going to be. I was leading people and teaching hundreds of people a week in my role as a pastor, but inside I was finding myself isolated, alone, and unfulfilled. Where is your fellowship with believers, with brothers and sisters in Christ? Alone? Well, Jesus said, I will be with you always. And unfulfilled. You're looking for fulfillment, not in God's word, not in God, not in the Holy Spirit, but in the word, in this world. He said, coaching helped me refine my purpose, and it's now my mission to help you transform from the stuck life to the successful life. You may relate to that, to what I went through. You might feel stuck in your career or feel that your business isn't reaching the goals you wanted to. Your personal relationships might need transformation. Whoever you are, we all need support and revitalization at times, and our coaching packages are designed to help you get from where you are to where you want to be. So he wants to help people to inspire, to be fulfilled in life. He wants to help people to be successful, not according to the Bible, but in the world, successful. And God said to Joshua, if you keep my word, you shall have good success. Keeping God's word will bring success, true success in our lives. And Job heard God speaking to him after those three friends came along and they were just giving him all judgment and everything, and he was talking to them back and forth. And then he heard God at the end. He spoke to him and he says, I have heard of thee. He's talking to God. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but mine eye seeth thee. He heard God's word speaking to him and he saw God. So what happened after hearing God's word, Job, and after you saw God speaking to you, how did you feel about yourself? Did you love yourself? He said, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He saw the glory of God like Isaiah. He saw the glory of God, holy and great. And he said, woe unto me, for I'm done. I'm a man of unclean lips. So Job did same thing. After seeing God in his glory and he heard the word of God, he said, I abhor myself. Joel Austin should learn this from Job. Love yourself. Love your. They all teach about loving yourself. Well, just wait, Joel Austin, just wait a few more years till you get older, and then you're going to get all kinds of sickness and everything, and you're not going to love yourself, I promise you. You're not going to be happy and positive all the time. You're going to realize that you need God, and you're going to abhor yourself, because that's not reality. Now, you are young, and you have so much money, and you love yourself, but you're going to abhor yourself if you see God. Billy Graham, what about him? He preached the gospel, pure gospel, for a long time, for decades, and at the end of his life, he started compromising, met with Catholic Pope and everything, and he compromised the pure gospel. He was not consistent. I'm looking at Pastor here for his faithfulness for 37 years, I believe, being faithful, committed to the Lord and consistent. He hasn't moved his position from holy music and sound doctrine. He's got conviction. He doesn't want to move. He's consistent, and that encourages me. And I want to encourage you to be consistent in your faith and your belief. And as a missionary, you go into the field. I heard some missionaries changing their position about so many different areas in life. Don't change your position. Be consistent in holiness, in your conviction, in music. Don't change your music. Commitment must be consistent. He was consistent. He clave to the Lord and departed not from following him. Why should I depart from the Lord? He has given me life. He gives me joy. He has forgiven all my sins. And he is the source of life and everything. Why should I depart from him? Where should I go? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life, Peter said to Jesus. And the commitment, number three, will be rewarded. If you commit your life to the Lord completely and stay consistent, you will be rewarded. Look at verse 7 and 8. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. You see, because he was totally committed to the Lord, he removed the high places, he broke the images and everything, he destroyed, he trusted in the Lord, he was consistent in his commitment all his life, God was with him. He prospered him. He gave him success. God gave him victory over Assyria and Philistine. He increased his border. God gave him all the blessings and he rewarded him. And if you do that, God will reward you as well. In Psalm 37 verse 5, it tells us, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way to the Lord. If you commit your way, your life to the Lord for a mission or anything and trust in him, he shall bring it to pass. He's going to reward you and he'll make you successful. I'm going to give you this illustration of George Street evangelist called Frank Jenner back in Australia, in Sydney, where I lived for 12 years, and we were going to George Street in Sydney a lot. That's in downtown in Sydney, and we were giving out tracts a lot and talking to people, because you see people from different backgrounds. They are open to the gospel. And it was just a fascinating place just to give out tracts. And so Frank Jenner was an alcoholic. He was addicted to alcohol for a long time, and he was homeless, miserable, sleeping on the street for a long time, and he heard the gospel. Somebody invited him to church. He went to church and he heard the gospel that Jesus saves. Jesus can give you deliverance. So he repented. He put his trust in Jesus. He got saved and Jesus transformed his life. He had victory over his addiction, alcohol. And he realized that, man, this is amazing. Jesus has transformed my life. I couldn't do it. Nobody could help me to deliver me from this addiction. I was homeless, but now I'm praising God. He has given me purpose. So he committed his life to the Lord. He said, Jesus, thank you for saving me and transforming my life. I want to commit my life to you. I want to give 10 tracts a day. Would you use me? Would you use these tracts that I'm going to give every day? 10 tracts. He committed his life to give 10 tracts a day to people. So he started doing that. He did it all the time. Sometimes he wasn't able to do it for some reason, like sickness or something happened, but he was able to catch up again next day. So he did it for many years. And one day, this London Baptist preacher was preaching in different conferences around the world in different countries. And he was preaching in London in a conference. And after preaching, people were sharing their testimonies, how they came to Christ. And one pastor stood up and he traveled to Australia one day and he went to Sydney. He went to George Street. He said, I saw this short man. This short man, he came out of blue. He said, sir, may I ask you a question? if you would die tonight or sometime, would you be sure of going to heaven? And gave me tract. He said that question that he asked, it struck me. He said he was thinking about it all the time, and he went to speak to his youth pastor, and his youth pastor led him to the Lord. One day, this London Baptist preacher, he traveled to India, and he was preaching in a big gathering, big conference there, and this Hindu preacher, Indian preacher, who used to be a former Hindu, invited him over dinner at his home. So he went there, and he wanted to ask his testimony, how this former Hindu came to Christ. And he said that he was an ambassador for India, and he was privileged to travel to many countries. And he said one time he traveled to Australia. He went to Sydney, and he wanted to do last-minute shopping for his wife and his kids. And he went to George Street. He saw this short man out of blue, came to him. He said, "Sir, can I ask you a question? If you were to die tonight or sometime, do you know for sure that if you would go to heaven?" And gave me tract, and he said he wasn't sure, obviously, and he went back home, and he went back to his priest, Hindu priest. He said, "Can you tell me how I can be sure of going to heaven?" And the Hindu priest said, "Well, nobody's sure of going to heaven. I can't answer that question. There is American missionary down the road. Maybe go and talk to him, see what he's got to tell you." So he went to speak to this American missionary in India, and this missionary led him to the Lord. He got saved. And this London Baptist preacher, he traveled another country. He heard over and over about this short man on George Street, how many people have come to Christ through him. One day, he happened to be in Sydney, speaking in a conference. And he said to people, he said, "Any of you know this short man on George Street who gives us track?" And they said, "Yes, you're talking about Frank Jenner. He doesn't do it anymore. He's too old. He's not doing it anymore." He said, "Can you take me to his home? I want to go and see him." They said, "Sure." So they took him and to his home, and he knocked on the door, and Frank Jenner came, very old at his age. And he said, I want to share a story of how you have been leading so many people to the Lord, and I'm so encouraged by your faith and your faithfulness, what you've done to so many people." And he said, "What?" He said, "I've been doing this for 40 years. I did it for 40 years. I never saw any soul come to Christ." He did it for 40 years. He gave tracts, and nobody came to Christ, but he was consistent in his commitment, that he made that commitment to the Lord completely, and he was consistent for 40 years. He never saw any soul come to Christ. And this man shared, and he started to shed tears. He started to cry, poor old man. And in fact, this preacher, he made an investigation to see how many people have come to Christ, and he found that 160,000 people around the world have come to Christ through his ministry. It was amazing. Now, this Frank Jenner, who was insignificant, short man, nobody knew him. He's in heaven now, in the streets of gold in heaven, walking, and he has so many respect from so many people there, and he has led to the Lord, and he's rewarded. God has rewarded him for his faithfulness, his consistency. How's your commitment? Are you consistent? Are you committed to the Lord completely? Can you share that picture that I... not this one. Go back, please. Okay, not this one. The other one. The church in Canada. That was a bad one. Go to... do you have that picture of church in... Okay. I shared on Sunday morning about church in Vancouver, that we went there and we preached, and 14 souls got saved, and church was planted there in Vancouver. And Pastor Ben Turner, I mentioned that he was using an interpreter to teach Iranians. So he had like separate service for Iranians. But soon he got cancer and he got so much health issues, and he wasn't able to teach anymore. So he's been in hospital doing surgery and after surgery. And so... But these people have been gathering, these Iranians have been coming. Yeah, this is the picture. I showed this picture that they're gathering every Sunday and they watch me preach online. Like they download a YouTube video that I have, so they listen to the preaching without having pastor now, which is a blessing, but that's, they need a shepherd, they need a preacher. And do you have the picture of the man? When I came back from Canada, I mentioned about this young man. His name was Yasin, and I mentioned about how he was a drug addict and how God saved him in a bus station. He called on Jesus' name, and he felt that Spirit of God. Something came into his heart, and he had drugs in his hand. He wanted to go and use it, but then God, he was also homeless because he was a drug addict, and he heard the name of Jesus. He didn't know who Jesus was, but he heard about Jesus that he delivers. He called on Jesus. He said, Jesus, if you are really true, if you really deliver, would you deliver me from this life? I'm dying. This is miserable life. He called on Jesus' name. He felt this power fell on him and in his heart. He was transformed. He said he was walking now with joy. He was throwing those drugs to like tree branches and everything. He was throwing them away. He knew that he doesn't need that dope anymore. He had total victory over that. So this man got saved, and then he wanted to find the church. Now, if you want to follow Jesus, where would you go? You don't want to go to mosque or temple. You want to go to church. So he found Iranian church. So he went to this church, which was a charismatic church. So he went there, and after 1 or 2 years, and he saw something that wasn't biblical. He started to dig the Bible more. He studied and discovered more, to learn more, to see what true church is. The more that he studied, he realized that this church is not biblical. And he saw so many evil things from leaders there. And he saw one very bad, very evil things. It was the turning point. He said, him and his wife, he said, we're not going to go to that church anymore. We have to sit at home and pray that the Lord would provide us a church, a right church. We need to see, Jesus transformed me. He delivered me. There must be a church, a sound church that preaches the Bible, the conservative. So he searched a little bit for about a year. He didn't have any church to go to. He was just searching, praying with his wife. And as he was searching and discovering, he realized that the good church, conservative church, would be a Baptist church. And as he was searching about Baptist, he realized that King James Bible would be the right version to read. So he was searching online for Baptist church. Anchor Baptist Church showed up, and he listened to a sermon by Pastor Ben Turner, and he realized that, wow, this is exactly what my heart wants. This is sound, I can tell. So he went to see Pastor Ben Turner. He visited the church just right 2-3 days before we had this evangelistic meetings there in Canada. It was just amazing how the Lord knew that this church is going to need a preacher. Not Pastor Ben Turner. He's good, obviously. He's American preacher, but he's serving Canadians there. But you need a Persian preacher. God already made a plan. He saved this soul, drug addict, and then he brought to these meetings there. And I got to know him, and we had lunch together, and I went to his home, and he was an amazing man. He has written some songs, 14 Persian songs, which was fascinating. So anyway, for 2 months, they didn't have pastor. They were just going to church and listening to this online. And last week, he called me. He was crying. He said, my wife and I went to the store to get some drink and soda drink, like certain Turkish drink that I used to drink, and I love it. It's very nice flavor and soda drink that it's Turkish. And we went to this place that there are some Turkish grocery stores. So we went there. When we went there and we came to the car, we realized that there is something going on the street. So many people. He saw so many people, Muslims and Canadians, cursing Israel and supporting Palestine and everything. He said, my heart was broken. He said, in the car with my wife, the people were passing by and cursing. We were, with tears, we were crying out to God. I said, Lord, would you save these souls here? Would you open their eyes that they would see that Israel is God's nation? He said, after that, since last week, he said, there is like warmth in my heart. There's like fire burning. It's like, I think that I need to do something. I need to get the word out. There are so many Iranians, they hate Israel. We grew up hating Israel. I think I need to get the word out somehow to tell them that Israel is God's nation and we need to love them. So we prayed about it. And then he said, last 2 months as well, Pastor Ben Turner has been sick. And he said he goes to church and there's no preacher. He's like, there's fire in his heart. He realized that he has to do something. He has to like preach. But then he said, there is this voice in my heart like telling me, you don't have Bible college degree. You're not worthy. Who you are, you know, to preach? Like, spirit of devil. So he said, I didn't mention this burden in my heart to pastor or to anybody. He said last Wednesday, just past Wednesday, he said he went to church and this assistant pastor was preaching from Romans 12 about gifts. If God has given you the gift of prophecy, prophesy. Ministry, minister. And he pastor encouraged, he said, you don't need Bible degree to preach. It's helpful if you have Bible degree, but God doesn't need Bible degree. God needs a willing man to go and preach the gospel, to preach. He said, if you have desire to preach, you need to step forward. We need preachers. We need laborers. He said, like, he was talking to me. Like, God was speaking to me through him. So he got excited, and he spoke to his pastor about this burden. And on Sunday morning, when I showed that picture to you about this need, I said, would you pray for laborer, for a preacher, for this church, Iranian preacher? I asked you to pray, and I sent that link, morning service, to him. And he sent me a voice message in the afternoon. He said, this is amazing. He said, when you prayed that prayer in the morning that you had service, like 2-3 hours later, I preached my first sermon. First time I got to preach. I'm like, this is amazing. The Lord already prepared a servant to preach. God answered our prayer just last Sunday morning. And somebody there, God raised somebody to preach the gospel, preach God's word there in Vancouver. So God is working in people's heart. He said, I felt this warmth in my heart, this fire. That's God's call. God has already called all of us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's God's call for you. God is calling you. You just have to answer, say, Lord, here am I, send me. But also, if God has been working in your heart, there is some warmth in your heart, fire, that's probably God is calling you. God is knocking on your door. Would you open your heart tonight and answer that call? Say, Lord, I am ready. I want to make that public tonight. I want to commit my life to you to go to the mission field. Lastly, I'm going to share this picture, which is awful, that missionary Tim Smith sent this to me last night. This is like 5 minutes video, but I couldn't show it. I wanted to show it, but you can't show this at church. It was awful. You see the picture on the right? They dug a trench in a yard, in a property, a trench, like mass grave. And this Hamas, that's Hamas arresting these people. These people are Palestinian Muslims in Gaza. And because of this bombing and fighting going on, they wanted to flee from Gaza because it's not safe. They want to flee because most of them have 7, 8, 10 children. They want to protect their children. They want to flee to go to a safe place and not knowing where they're going to. So many of them got stuck there in Egypt border. They have no idea where they're going to go. They have nothing. They're just carrying just a few bags with them, homeless kind of, not knowing where they're going to go. What would you do? Like if an enemy came and they sent bombs here, right here in Menominee Falls. Well, I would do probably the same thing. I would take my family and get out of Menominee Falls to go to Milwaukee, safe place. No. Anyway. Hamas arrested these Palestinians that they were fleeing because they're not standing to fight for Allah. So they arrested this Hamas's people, blindfolded them. They were bringing them. You see, they just bringing them blindfolded. They were just throwing these people in that trench. And as they were falling, somebody had gone and he was shooting at them, killing them. You see, this is mass grave, killing them there. And they want to bury them in that trench. So many, I don't know how many hundreds of, but 5 minutes they were bringing one by one. It was just awful. My heart broke last night to see that video. It was just moving. Those Hamas, they're very brutal, very wicked, but they know different than you. They are sinners in a different way. We are sinners in a different way as well. Do you think they need the gospel? They are in darkness. Why do they do that? Because they have no light in them. They are in darkness. Nobody has told them about Jesus. So that's why in Islamic world, there's fighting going on, killing. But when they come to Jesus, they become one of the sweetest person in the world. They love the Lord. So I've seen so many of these Muslims coming to Christ. They see, man, this is great light. I was in darkness. This is amazing. God loves me. Allah never loved me. He never did anything to me. But God, Jesus Christ, He loves me. He died for me. They love Him back more. They want to do everything. I love Him more. He saved my soul from hell. And I want to do everything for Jesus. I love Him with all my heart tonight. They need the gospel. They need light. Jews need light. They are in darkness. Hamas, Palestinian, Indian needs light. Burkina Faso, Turkish, and Persians, Afghanis, they all need light. Would you ask God tonight, as we have an invitation in a moment, would you ask the Lord, if you have heat in your heart, that warmth in your heart, that's probably God is calling you. Would you make that public to come to the altar as we have an invitation and ask the Lord to send you forth. Be prepared and go forth and by the name of Jesus and preach that glorious gospel. Receive grace to go tonight. He's going to give you grace and go and shine that glory that He's giving you.